We turn to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12, and particularly verse 20, but the other verses are important too. But verse 20 reads, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Now, the Lord Jesus here, recorded in Matthew, quotes from Isaiah 42. Jesus believed the Old Testament, so he was happy to quote those verses. And those verses spoke of God's introduction of Jesus as his servant. "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen." So the Lord Jesus always knew that. It was always his authority that the Father had chosen him, and had chosen him as a servant in order that he may serve men and women and boys and girls. So he invites us, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen." And if we may behold him whom the Lord has chosen and believe in him whom the Lord has chosen, we may say of ourselves that we are chosen in him unto everlasting life. He's also called my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. Now, God is not happy with the wicked. He's angry with the wicked every day. But his beloved son pleases him well, for he was without sin. And those who believe in him and have repented of their sin and turned to him, had their sins atoned for, they also may say, "Being in Christ, we are God's beloved, and he is well pleased with us." The Father has put his Spirit upon Christ. He will show judgment to the Gentiles. Many of us have received the gospel at his hands and known that he has judged us in righteousness and has forgiven us all our sins. It sounds, however, a bit good to be true. And Jesus himself quotes the Isaiah passage in order to show that though he is God, though he knows everything, though he is without sin, yet he doesn't destroy those who can't claim any of these things. "A bruised reed shall he not break." I don't know if you go about treading in marshlands, but you may have walked in the cornfield. And as you tread underfoot, you knock a stalk over, or in this case, a reed. It doesn't quite lose its life. It's still got some nourishment coming from the bit where it's not broken off, but bent over. But it's not enough to make it very good or useful or anything like that. "A bruised reed shall he not break." Many people are bruised in life. Bruising causes many people to be upset. Bruising makes people never the same again. If they have been abused in any way, they are unlikely to trust men, women, whatever. They are likely to be bruised for life. And there are many things that may happen that bruise us. Unfairnesses, injustice, being ignored, being treated as nobody, all sorts of different ways. And you may describe a person who has become like that as a bruised reed. Now, reeds are fully grown. They're no longer just little plants that are sprouting up. And people hold forth bruises for many, many long years. Bitternesses, all sorts of things rankle in their minds. And the sum total is that very often it causes them to turn against God, who's allowed these things to happen to them. But sometimes the things that are allowed to happen to us are for our good. A bruised reed, Jesus will not break. If it's you, he will not tread you down. He will not add to the miseries. This Saviour delights to heal, delights to make better. A bruised reed shall he not break. The thought is usually that something damaged like that is really of no further use. And if we feel about our lives that really we are not much further use, the Saviour says, oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. He deals with where we are bruised, where the stem is damaged. He deals with the centre of our life so that we may be restored, so that we may be recovered, so that we may have faith in God again and faith in mankind again, so that we may be useful to do our jobs. But when Jesus, the Lord Jesus, comes to a person, it's not to break them. It's not to make matters worse. And if in our estimation matters are being made worse, it's so that you can, in fact, be made better. And then we have a different picture to the same end. Smoking flax shall he not quench. Now, I've no experience of flax, but I am old enough to remember lamps and lamp lighting and oil lamps. And when the lamps begin to flicker, it means that the supply of oil is running out. And when they begin to sort of smoke at the bottom, you know that the oil has just about run out and the light is about to go out also. I guess flax was about the same. It's not on fire. It's smoking. And it's just about finished. So, how does the Lord deal with men and women who are not on fire anymore, who've turned in such a way that they've lost all their initiative, lost all their youthful vigour, lost all their high ideals, lost so many things? And now you don't see what they were once. You don't see even what they might have been. You just see something not very pleasant to observe, something that would be much better snuffed out, trodden upon and squeezed, so that it finishes and is put out of his misery. But that is not how the Lord Jesus deals with men and women. We may think we're finished. We may think we've grown cold in many of the things that we found interesting when we were young. Nobody else thinks that we have anything to offer them or to give them. Our days are finished. We're smoking flax. And yet the Lord does not quench smoking flax. The Son of Man does not say, I'll do like other men. You've passed your sell-by date. No longer have you got anything to contribute, but smoking flax he shall not quench. Now, the implication is, if it is not to be quenched, oil is to be supplied. So that when we read smoking flax, he shall not quench, it means he supplies the oil. And of course, the oil mentioned in the Bible is the oil of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the gospel, the oil that brings, shall we say, sap is a mixed metaphor, but the oil that brings inward vigor again to that which is about to be snuffed out. The Lord does not quench anybody. The Lord revives. You can take a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old or a 70-year-old or whatever and give them back the years that the locusts have eaten. But there is a condition, and that is that you believe his gospel. By nature, we are all contrary to the Lord. By nature, we shall all die. And by nature, we shall all break like bruised reeds or become smoking like flax about to end. It is the believing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes the difference. It is the Lord Jesus who saves. He comes into our lives, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about things that are eternal, not of being broken and not of being quenched, but brings oil that revives into eternal life. Different sort of life from that we've ever known, we've already known, but a life that will not run out here, but a life that will be for eternity. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. And if you identify with either of those, then the call is to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The call is to put your trust in him. The call is to say to the Lord, all these things that I have done have not enriched me at all. They've wrecked my life. They've ruined my life. They've brought me to an end before my time. I've given up my ideals. I've lost any sense of vision that I had. But at thy command, I will repent. I will turn to thee. I will think about my life. I will think about where I began to go wrong. I will think about how that accelerated and got beyond control. I will think about the misery that I'm finished and old before my time. And I will repent of all these things that I have done. And the Lord gives new life. It may be a bit late for our bodies. It may be that we shall have to take the consequences of our sins in terms of our bodies, but he does promise renewal. He does promise eternal life. He does promise that which is beyond our wildest dreams. He will send forth victory, and he will send forth judgment unto victory. Now, none of us want to be judged by God. Being judged means that everything we've ever done, thought, said should be taken into account. Surely it must appear clear to you all that good works don't answer the problem. If you think the Lord must love me because I've done this, this, this and that, what about the other things that you've done that brought you so low? And if you say, well, I'm hoping that they'll equal the things I've done wrong, you're never going to be sure, are you? Because even if you think you've got it equal and you think something blasphemous about God on the day you die, that's the end. You need to be much more certain than that. In other words, you need a saviour and you need his judgment and you need to share that judgment. You know you've sinned. You know you've done things wrong. And the Lord judges. But the Lord didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. And as part of that salvation, there is a judgment. There is a judgment on our lives. There is a judgment on the things we love. There is a judgment on the things we've done wrong. But only so that we can be brought to pardon and forgiveness. Now the Lord does not break the bruised reed, because he was a bruised reed. He was broken for our sakes. He wasn't in himself a bruised reed. He was without sin, and he was fit and healthy at 30 odd years old. But he bore our sins. And on the cross of Calvary, his body was bruised. His body was hurt. His body was brought to death. And he overcame death. He rose from the dead. And all who believe in him are those he died for, those he made atonement for their sins for. And that's something that we need to turn our attention to and believe. All those sins of which you are aware, they need to be repented of. They need to be turned off. If you say there must be things that are hidden, things I can't remember, well, maybe it's good that they remain hidden. I can only say from my own experience that when I said to the Lord, confessed that I was a sinner and repented, the Lord wouldn't accept that in that general way. And he actually brought by before my face in a matter of half a minute all the sins I'd ever committed. I don't say that some were not there, but they all came before my eyes just at that time that I was confessing him, that I wanted to repent, so that I knew I was being genuine in my repentance, so that I knew my repentance was right, so that I knew what was being required of me, and so I would understand the greatness of what the Saviour was accomplishing. He doesn't break a bruised reed because he knows what it's like to be a bruised reed, not from his own sin, but from bearing ours. And smoking flax shall he not quench, because he was smoking flax. At the age of 30, 33, whatever he was in the prime of life. But it was for us he became smoking flax. It was for us that the life of one who was in full vigour within less than 24 hours was brought to death. But he does not quench those who are smoking flax. He does not put the last squeeze on the life of those who feel their failure, who know their days are done, who feel they're no longer effective. He died for such. And that if it is too late to do anything very much here, even that may not be true. But even if it was, he holds before us the prospect of eternal life, where there is no more sin, nor suffering, nor tears. And Jesus quoted the words, "In his name shall the Gentiles trust." Are we not going to be among them? Are we going to be among the list of those who are not Jews, and therefore called by them Gentiles? But are we going to be among those Gentiles who don't believe? The Gentiles are going to trust the Lord, but only those who believe. Are we not going to be a real Gentile? Are we not going to be typical and trust in him as we should? There is a verse that Jesus didn't quote in Isaiah 42, verse 4. "He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth." When we belong to Christ, we will be in him. And one of the most curative effects being in him is that we do not fail. The word of God never fails. His work never fails. Nothing we do in the Saviour's service will ever fail and fall to the ground. The Lord Jesus does not fail. He's in glory now, but he doesn't fail to watch over those who are his. Not only shall he not fail, he will not be discouraged. Well, I would be discouraged if I were God and looked at all that was going on in the world. But the Savior is not discouraged, for he knows his sheep. He knows those whom he will save. He knows what a marvelous thing that will be that he saves them. He will not fail nor be discouraged. And when we become believers, we are functionally in him. There's no way why we should be discouraged. Right, we look at the world and that's discouragement. But you remember the story of Jesus, of Peter walking on the water. When he looked at the waves and saw how boisterous they were, he began to sink. It was only while he was looking at Christ that he was rescued. And so it is that if we, as believers, are not to be discouraged, it's no good looking round at the turbulence of the world, but only at the marvels of the Saviour and of his accomplishments. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth. And if he has taken us as bruised reeds, and if he has taken us as smoking flax, and if he has not trodden us down, and if he has not quenched us, then what he has done will never fail, nor ever will he lose his grip upon us. To commit to the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in him, however far gone we are, however broken we are, however we seem to ourselves to be finished and destroyed, the Lord Jesus will not fail to work his power and his life within us. Maybe he'll spare us for 10 years. Maybe we shall die at the rate we were dying, but then there will be a glorious life in eternity, more than making up for all the misery that we have known. But cling on to these things. Human nature finds many reasons to feel that you're broken, to feel that you're smoking instead of being on fire. And the Lord Jesus comes to such, preaches the gospel of salvation, promises to forgive sins, gives us grace to repent of our own sins, and within us a new life begins that shall be forever. So that if you are a bruised reed, and if you are smoking flax, you will not remain bruised, you will not remain smoking, but you will shine forth into that eternal day and live with him perfectly forever. The Saviour is to be loved. The Saviour is to be admired. The Saviour is to be trusted. The Saviour is to be trusted with us and our bodies, and our lives, and our well-being, and our health. Do trust in him. Do turn from all other things. Don't look at what's going on elsewhere, but just look to him and trust. Amen.